Hey, everybody, man. Welcome to the December episode of Making Progress, where we go through and we unpack the latest issue of the Baptist Progress. And we're going to discuss what's happening all around the BMAF Texas. We're glad you're here with us and joined us today. And so right off the bat, this month's episode is proudly sponsored by our friends over at Daniel Springs Camp. And man, Daniel Springs has been faithfully serving and ministering to the BMA churches for, I guess, since 1965. Wow. And they've been loving on and investing in students and their families. They've been giving him that camp experience that truly is, I think, at Daniel Springs, a Christ-centered experience. And so Jason Pruitt and his staff are working hard, even right now, getting ready for next year and all the changes that are coming there. But man, they're going to get ready and provide another wonderful year, an amazing year of life-changing camp experiences for our kiddos. And so you can go and check out the 2026 schedule at DanielSpringsCamp.com. And again, we're thankful for their support of us and what we're doing here and for sponsoring this ad. And so it's going to be a great episode. And we do have a good episode for you today. And so we're glad you came and joined us. And so, as always, it's my honor to be able to have sitting with us and co-hosting with me. My name is Chris Driver, obviously. And so this is Heath Mitchell, and he is our director of missions, and he is my fearless leader, and I'm so glad that you're here today. And so thanks for being here, man. It's going to be a good episode. And
it is. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And so our really special guest today is our new friend and brother over here, our ministry spotlight guest, as it is, an article for this month's episode, is Pastor Eric Enriquez, and he's pastor over at the thriving and growing and exciting things that are happening over there at First Baptist Church of Avalon. And so, Eric, man, we're glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here, and I appreciate y'all inviting me to come and be a part of this. I was kind of surprised when you called me and asked to do an interview for the magazine, and and then invited me on here, and so I'm just excited to be here. I even wore my Texas Tech sweater for you, since you're coming from West Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I love
Big 12
it.
Champs.
Absolutely. Come on.
It all day that your daughter got excited.
Oh, that might be it. That might be it, too. I wanted to make him feel special.
Yeah, I know
you
it, did. Man.
I think you brought the wind down here with you, though, because it was blowing today.
It is, man, but I got to fight it going home today,
man.
That's not going to be good. Cut my gas mileage down.
Tech took care of the Mormons up in Utah.
That's right.
Send them back
home. Thank y'all for having me. I'm so excited. I mean, I had to pinch myself this morning to make sure I was on this side of glory, because I was just so ready to be here
and hang out
with you guys.
It's going to be fun, man. And look at all the fancy decorations.
I am almost distracted by my first ever time to see an olive tree decorated with Christmas ornaments. Man, that's quite a Christmas tree there.
Right.
I like
right.
it.
That's
I'm
right.
a fan.
All right, man. So yeah, we're just glad that there's no mistletoe in here. So.
Yeah.
I love you guys, but man, not like that. So it's gonna be a good time, man.
I'd take one for the team.
There you go. just for tradition's sake, we can do it. But man, it's exciting to have you with us. And so looking forward to
Thank
this.
You
and so
very
let's just
much.
Let's just jump right in and let's talk
All
about
right.
what's happening around the BMA, Baptist Progress, December issue. All right. And so right off the bat, we just had a chance to celebrate, what happened at our 125th annual meeting of the BMA of Texas. And so a lot of great highlights in the paper this time. And so hope everybody will take a chance to go. If you didn't make the meeting, man, we just encourage you to do your best next year, because, man, there's a lot of great stuff that happens at these meetings. And this one was extra special. It had some really, really big highlights. Great videos, man, that are still available. I think if you haven't seen the video, the historical video of it, it's available. And I think on our webpage, the Baptist Progress webpage.
Yeah, you can get to that 125th
there.
Video. Yeah,
but also
Baptist
on Facebook.
Progress Facebook page, but yeah, you on YouTube, if you look up the Baptist Progress and Finance Channel, it is there.
Okay,
there and shareable as well. Man, I encourage use it at your local church.
It is a great video. It really captures all the way back to our roots and where we've come from and all we've been through and how God's used us for 125 years. And,
wow.
You know, looking forward to 125 more. God's, yeah. You know, Christ delays is coming, right? So we're going to keep on working.
That's
so
right.
A lot of great things, you know, some of the highlights, you know, always special to start the meeting, you know, for us. You know, 70 churches were represented this time and had a lot of guests and also, but we had 6 new churches that joined the BMA of Texas petitioned and joined and were seated with the messengers. And so
that's
always a fun time.
We welcome, Iglesia Bautista Missionaria Antioch Gilmer is a church that we've been working with for some years in partnership with Antioch Baptist in Gilmer. And wonderful to see that church organized and joining. Man, a Rise and Shine Fellowship is a Telugu speaking Indian congregation from Irving. And man, they have been organized beside First Baptist Church of Las Colinas. And so, man, we're excited about them. Lively Baptist Church in Scurry is a historic BMA church that has come back to us this year. Mm-hmm. New Hope Baptist Church in Bloomberg is a new church to the BMA, and we welcome them. And Iglesia Bautista Missionaria in San Antonio is a Texas Mission Project organized. Mm-hmm. And Bethlehem Baptist in Cut-and-Shoot is a Hispanic church in Texas Missions that also has organized. Iglesia Bautista Emmanuel Conroe is an established Hispanic congregation that has chosen to join the BMF Texas this year. So, man, we just welcome each of those.
Absolutely.
So glad to have them part of the BMA family.
Absolutely. It's so exciting just to see all the diversity that's kind of, you know, under the umbrella of the BMAs. And, you know, that's what the early church was all about, you know, Brother Poole talked about that, you know, in Acts chapter 4 and kind of reminding everybody that we serve the same God there as the Acts chapter 4 church.
Amen.
That same God is still moving and still working today. Not just 125 years in the BMA, but for the last 2,000 years.
Amen.
And it's exciting to see him continuing to work in just different dynamics and different groups of people. You know, it's wonderful to see and for the BMA to, you know, be a part of that. It's just
And
awesome.
I think that's always exciting when we look at, like you talked about, the diversity, because Texas is truly an international state.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so much international presence here. I mean, you know, we've said all along that, you know, that literally the world is coming to Texas. And so we can, you know, we don't have to go across the world.
It's true.
We still want to, but I mean, it's coming here. And so we need to be faithful to reach them as they land here in America, man. And
it's a Texas story since our very beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, in the first year of missions, they were, I think there was, I believe, 5 dialects represented.
Wow.
And, Germans and Czechs and French and Hispanic. And, you know, it was just, it was a diverse state in 1900. And
Still is. Everybody loves being Texas.
Yeah. I mean, you look back at the history, and like I said earlier, I'm a history buff, and, you know, we've had 6 national flags that have flown over Texas, you know, and so that just goes back to our history. And so,
absolutely.
To see God continuing to work, you know, in all these different diverse cultures, it's amazing.
It is. It's fun to be a part of, too. I was telling somebody the other day, man, I'm just excited. I'm so glad to be part of BMA of Texas, you know, and just what God's doing. And it's an exciting time. It really is. And so,
you
know, Pathway obviously, you know, hosted us well at the meeting.
They sure did. Pathway was a wonderful host.
Yeah, always such a great host.
Yeah, great place to meet. And, man, Michael has been a good president these last 2 years.
Yes.
He has led so well. You know, just wonderful at the meetings and in between.
Yeah.
And we welcome Eric Johnson. We're excited about him this year as elected president of BMA of Texas.
Yep.
And hey, big news for TBHC at the state meeting as it was approved, and their name is now Texas Baptist Hope for Children.
Yep.
As they move that focus to foster and adoption inside each of our churches across the state of Texas. And I think
and we had a chance, you know, and during the time Jason was able to come and one of the best leadership conferences we've had, was able to share and challenge, you know, not just you know, for financial support, but also that are inside our churches. I mean, we probably engage more of the foster care system than we realize many times, but also that that it's really, it's our responsibility as churches, you know, that we want to connect these children to godly families.
Absolutely.
That, you know, in the church is that vehicle, that it's that pool where we should be gathering those people from, so that they get the hope, the real hope, the only hope that these kids really have, and that is Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure. And so, man, he did such an amazing job of sharing that and challenging us. And it was a really good leadership conference. But they have a new name. And so, and we, you know, I mean, while we're talking about that, I mean, you know, their sign is almost up, and hadn't quite made it through all the red tape of Waxahachie, but I think there's been some landmines along the way.
There have, but the sign is there. The letters are not on it, but the sign is up. The sign is across the street from us today.
Yeah. So drive over there and see it. And so.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think I heard y'all mention it on the previous podcast. There's only one letter change in that name, you know, but they coincide with each other so well. Hope and home go, you know, together, because our hope is in Jesus, who is ultimately getting us to our ultimate home, right?
Yeah.
And so just being able to see everything that they're doing, you know, that's exciting. But it is a reminder to all of our churches, you know, that there's these kids out here that, you know, my wife is adopted, so it's something that's close to our heart. And she was fortunate enough to be raised by a Christian family, you know, and have that foundation growing up. And so, you know, to just continue to remind all of our congregations and all of our churches that, you know, that this ministry is very real, and you impact children's lives from the beginning.
Amen.
My heart is with kids and with teens, and so I might get on my soapbox a little bit there. It's just to continue to remind everybody about that. That's so wonderful. And I love the name change, by the way.
Yeah,
I like
absolutely. Hope. Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, then that's, you know, while the home doesn't provide the home here anymore, their goal is to provide the hope of a home, a real home, a forever home for these kiddos. You know, through people's lives and opening up their families and giving them, you know, the hope of Christ and the hope of of something solid that they can they can land. And so appreciate that, man. So, yeah, it was a great meeting. And so check out all the other stuff that's on there. And so we move on a little bit. And then so welcome to the team. We have an article in here introducing really just more formally our new Baptist Progress editor, Emily Simpson. And so, man, she this is actually her first official paper to put out all by herself, and so did a great job. And so we're excited to have her on the team. And
yes,
I know she's written several great articles in here, and I mean, she's just a real asset. It's going to be great. And so, kind of just to explain for those that realize, you know, so the editor used to be, you know, director, editor. It was all kind of lumped together. And so now since it's come under the umbrella of the missions office, it is now we have a team lead in Morgan Standifer, but we also now have a editor who's really just dedicated solely to producing the paper and getting that out and all the things that go behind that and all the boy it is. I did it for 4 months, man, and I was so glad somebody else could do it, because there's a lot of moving pieces to this thing to get it out. You don't realize it until you're in the middle of it. And so,
I can imagine.
Man, she's done a great job.
Is. They both are. This is officially the first paper that Morgan has produced, has put together, and Emily has edited.
Yep.
And so good job to both of them.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Emily and Spencer. I know they found out this month they're going to have a baby.
Hey,
That's
exciting.
We're excited and praying for them.
They didn't make it Facebook official, so we can put that in there. So.
Good deal.
<we're> good.
You said did, and I heard didn't, and I thought,
it's now first. Like it's official.
It goes fast. It goes fast.
It does. It does. So.
I can't believe mine's about to head off to college. It's so quick.
I know it.
Emily wrote an article on a historic gavel that the BMF Texas. It was presented to us back in I believe 1922. It's been an exciting story, man. As we've dug for Texas history this year, I happened in a minute book to run across a presentation of a gavel in 1922. And Jason, one day digging through their archives, calls me and says, hey, we're going to display some history at the state meeting. And we run across a gavel that says it's the first gavel of. Wow. And so, man, we got excited. Emily got on this story, and Emily can write a history story, can't she?
Yeah,
absolutely. I was really intrigued by this.
She, you know, no offense to Chris here, but, you know, there's an article in here about our church, but this is my favorite article.
Yeah, you're a history buff.
I'm a history buff, and so I really like this, and just she did an outstanding job on this, the thing that intrigued me the most was said that possibly the first gospel sermon ever was preached underneath the tree that this gavel was made from, you know, in Texas. And so I was just thought that was just amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
And then all the other history that goes into it.
Yeah. And, you know, history does get lost. And I'm so thankful that somewhere back in the 50s, someone said, let's stop just passing this gavel president to president and let's stick it in a safe place. And I'm so glad. Amen. So glad they did. We can tell the story today.
Yeah. It's a great article. Yeah, go check it out and read all the history around it. So brings us to missions. And so, even before we jump into what's happening there, I think it's worth noting that this has been your 10th year as missions director.
Heath. Oh, wow. So,
it does not seem like 10, I'll say. And, you know, I'm thankful. I have so enjoyed seeing all that God has done, and it's been fun serving the churches and the missionaries here in the state. It just doesn't feel like it ought to be 10 years, but what a surprise. I was, you know, the trustees and the BMA honored me with a plaque and a gift at the meeting. It was nice. Thank y'all.
Yeah.
Thank
well y'all. Deserved. Absolutely. I mean, that's tremendous.
So, I think that's worth, you know, kind of diving into a little bit. So, I mean, in the last 10 years, I mean, you know, I've been on here for 6, I guess, with the missions office. And so what do you think have been some of the major successes in the missions office over last 10 years? What, I mean, the changes, the, you know, some of the major hurdles. I mean, kind of unpack, you know, your 10 years. If you had to kind of sum it up, what's...
If I'd sum it up with what I'm most excited about is that God has just showed himself mighty. I mean, he has done things in and through us that we could have never done and, you know, brought glory to himself.
Amen.
You know, he's in things like establishing so many churches and us seeing and being able to support more churches than we ever have in the BMA of Texas. You know, the way we've been able to care for missionaries, just the support, encouragement that we've seen, just this unified effort around missions from the BMA of Texas. The churches of the BMA are giving to missions like they
Absolutely.
Never have before.
Yeah.
And so I just in all of that, just say, you know, just yay God, it's fun to see what he's doing. You know, we've been walking, you know, what has been a plan that God has altered over and over here in the state. And it's just fun to see how God carries that out. We're to a place where we're seeing missionaries produce missionaries.
Hey, come
That's
on,
fun right now. And to see real discipleship happening, from churches, to see pastors emerging, you know, from churches because discipleship. That's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I can speak, you know, to, you know, serving with you and under you, not only, you know, as a staff, but as a missionary for the last 5 years almost, appreciate all that you do. And I know you hate when people do that, but I mean, your leadership and your faithfulness and, you know, just, you know, the vision that you've brought, you know, that God's given you and you've been able to walk through. And I watch you walk through a lot of difficult things that most people don't get to see, some heavy things, you know, conversations and things that have to happen. And just appreciate you.
Thank you for that.
Appreciate all that you do and thankful for you. And look forward to more and more time, you know, to getting to serve together and see God do, you know, continue to do great and awesome things.
So, amen.
Yeah.
God uses the simple and the broken vessels, right?
Amen. So lots of good words from the planters this time, I mean, as always. And
hey, I want to highlight the Bridge Church at the Bridge Church at Siegelville come into the end of their 5-year 5-year walk with Texas Missions, an organized church that is so healthy. And man, has just 2025 has been an amazing year for them. I mean, they have baptized so many people.
Wow. Amen.
Just really seeing growth and just real step up from the congregation. Man, it's been good. Brother Tim Alba and his wife Nancy have just been faithful.
Yeah.
And like all of the missionaries, endured. I mean, mm-hmm. they've been under attack on this story. they've known health risks and real pains and struggles and yet they're here and God is really working through this congregation.
Yeah.
Uniqueness there is that they are they're focused kind of on second generation Hispanic. So it's an English speaking church reaching whole family Hispanic, and man, it's just God has used it mightily there in the Mesquite Sigelville area. It's always a scary moment when a church comes off support. And so they need your prayers and your encouragement will go a long
Amen.
Way. At this time. I know their emails are on the website for you. Send them a word of encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love Tim's story. And he didn't start out wanting to plant necessarily a Hispanic church, but God does what God does. So that's who God brought in. So you're like, okay, man. So he's embraced that fully, and the model that he has, it's going to be reproducible, and so I'm excited about him. I know he'll be fine. So
he sure will.
Good 5 years with him.
Sure did. Yeah. Man, I think we alluded to the story last month, but I believe y'all baptized the young man from the story last month. The picture's in the
Did. It was a great month for us at Oasis in Loveland, and had just that baptism we've been waiting for. We prayed for a young man for 4 years, man, and his wife was able to lead him to the Lord last month, and we got to baptize
That's
him.
So exciting.
Family was there, and we always have them give their testimony before they're baptized, and so he shared scared to death, but he was he shared it. He's like I was crying, I don't even know what's happening to me, and so it was fun. It was a fun time, getting to hear that and just walking with him now in discipleship.
Amen.
And being able to kind of carry that through and see his life change, man. He works in and around the Oldfield out there, and so a life transformed, man, is a big deal in that culture. And
absolutely.
So, yeah, and so it's fun. It's fun.
That's exciting.
And we also got connected to the South Plains College for the very first time. We have a young man coming now that works with the students, and we did a Friendsgiving for them, traditional Thanksgiving meal for some of these students that weren't going anywhere, and so we had about nearly 40 students in our building for the very first time. And
awesome.
Everybody's seen that at month in and month out. We pray for that and ask for prayer for that, and that we would connect with South Plains College, and that's why we bought the building right there by the college. And so for the very first time, we've had some success.
Love that.
So it's exciting time
been
for our church.
Been praying towards that for a couple of years. That
Absolutely.
Is so exciting.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
That's amazing. I mean, just two mission fields right there that you mentioned. You're talking about missions, mm-hmm. Missionaries baptizing missionaries, and I think about this young man and how God can possibly use him in the oil field, and then all of these young adults that you guys are reaching, now they have a mission field on their university, how it just takes a single spark, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, but that's what I see when I hear stories like that, and reading all of these reports from the missions field is just exciting to me to see everything that God is doing. But one of the things that kind of jumped out to me while I was going through them was there's a lot of really great ideas in here for us pastors and churches and curriculum directors of what some of these missionaries are doing in their mission fields that we can implement right at home. So don't skip over this when you read the article, because there's some really good ideas in here that these missionaries are implementing to reach people. And that's still our goal at home,
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that's jumped out to me about all of these stories, and they're just so exciting to read.
They are creative in connection. And at the same time, in those same articles, you find that things that things that have that are tried and true that we probably have forgotten work.
Like knocking on a door.
And sharing Jesus. That's right.
Hospitality. Have them into your house.
Have them into your house.
Stuff like that.
It still works.
It still works.
Absolutely.
So lots of good things. So I encourage everybody to go take a look at what's happening with your missionaries. And again, we would emphasize that they are your missionaries. You know, so if you're here, you know, as part of the BMA, these are your missionaries, and they represent you well, and God is moving in and through them, and so continue to pray for them and what God's doing there.
Absolutely. And, many of them, or all of them, have their prayer needs on there, and so that is a really simple way. Maybe you're not able to financially support, but that is a very practical and good way that you can support these missionaries.
Yeah.
Just get on here and look at their prayer needs and be diligent, and faithful about praying.
Adopt
for these
one a month or a couple a month or something like that. I mean, we got 22, 23, so I mean, two a month you could
cover it,
throughout the year. Just adopt one, pray for them, send them encouraging letters or whatever you could to them, emails. But they need it. It's hard out there. I tell you what, I always tell people it's the hardest thing I've ever done in ministry, but it's been the most rewarding, man. I tell you what, it's been pretty amazing what God's done. So.
If you're planning a church, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
You're under attack
all the time, right from the beginning. All right. Well, cool, man. Well, that moves us on. We're going to look at TBHC. We've talked a little bit about them already and, the state meeting and the name change and that sort of thing. But the new sign is coming up. But I think it's important for us to recognize, this time of year isn't easy for kiddos that are in this system. I think that's one of the things that he talks about here in his article is really that I mean, we always celebrate, we have a good time, presents and all those things, but when you think about children that are not with their families, even under difficult circumstances, somebody who's been in a broken home and suffered abuse, you're still your greatest desire as a kid is to have a family like everybody else has. Even in that, to have your parents well, to have them not be what they've been to you is something that you long for. And so we can't forget that some of these kids are it might not be an easy. So I mean, just pray for them. Yesterday we had the prayer meeting. I think Jason did on Facebook Live.
I was going to ask about that. I did see that was going on.
Yeah, and it was a great time of just praying for specific needs. And, they talked about, over 4,000 kiddos right now looking for adoption now in the system in Texas right now. I mean, I forget how many he said was in the foster care system, but
I think it was 28,000.
Yeah, something like that in the foster care system.
That's nationwide.
No, that's in Texas.
Oh, in Texas.
In Texas. And so I mean, you just think about 4,000 that are actively seeking adoption, not just in temporary placement, but that are in the system and in need of adoption. Wow. And so most of them, they said, were over the age of 8, 9, and up. And so they've reached that place where, they're no longer wanted to adopt. And so, these kids are, so the prayer for them biggest was that, God might tenderize some hearts out there that, we would open our home to foster, but also maybe to give a kid a forever home. And it's something that's definitely needed. And he mentions here, and I just wanted to read it, the birth of Jesus is the ultimate reminder that God stepped into our broken world to bring redemption and peace. That same hope is what we strive to share with every child and every family we serve. And that's, I think that is a testament to, I think it's true, a true testament to what TBHC does. And the hope that they're trying to bring these kids, especially this time of year. And so just a reminder, just lift them up. Because it isn't always an easy time.
And what an amazing mission statement.
Chris, they always list gifts given, in honor and memorial. And this week I happened to notice Dale Thornton down here. Boy, he has meant so much to so many in the BMA. Brother Dale was a BMA missionary in Taiwan for many, many years. Upon retiring in Taiwan, he moved back to Texas and pastored First Baptist Church of Las Colinas faithfully for many decades. He out of that church, they planted, I think they've planted like five churches, all in different international.
Wow.
First, it was a large Chinese church, and I think, I don't know, there's multiple. Matter of fact, the church that just joined the BMA this year, the Indian congregation that meets in the building there, you know, Brother Dale had a hand in helping to start that church. And so, man, we just we love him and are thankful he's to his reward.
Amen. Yeah. And continues to leave a legacy, man. I mean, that's you want to do, man. It's do something that outlives you, man.
Right.
I think that's what a great testimony.
Yes.
So love that. So love what TBHC is doing. And again, you know, how God's using it. So it's exciting. So Jacksonville College, as always, love talking about them. And it's been a great year for Jacksonville College, man. We were just looking through here, and Dr. Erickson wrote a great article just summing up kind of some of the things that have happened this year for you know, Jacksonville College. But, you know, this year being able to walk a little bit, you know, hand in hand with them and through some of these things, and just to see what God's been doing. I mean, because again, I say this seem like every episode, but, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't looking good, man.
Yes.
It wasn't looking good for Jacksonville College. And it has such an important part of who we are in our history. And so to see them healthy, to see God moving and doing great things and reaching college, as you said, your hearts were those teenagers, and man, those going to college. And, you know, we've got you know, one of the few, you know, Texas colleges that are still, you know, Christian and Christian education. And so it's to be able to know that those kids, even if they come as somebody who's not a believer, man, that they're going to be able to hear the gospel over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And they're seeing young people give their life to Christ. And he tells some stories in here. It's exciting. And but it is. It's a fun time. Fun time.
But one of the things that stuck out to me about this article, and it's, I didn't know until I read it, was, you know, for the first time ever, you know, a bachelor's degree, know, at Jackson College. That's exciting. You know,
absolutely.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. And plans for more. I mean,
yeah.
I think they're going to do a couple more degree plans. And yeah. So, I mean, you know, stepping into, that plan that God has, you know, I mean, and even something as historic as Jacksonville College, to recognize that, you know, when he's not done with it, it may mean that we need to adapt and move and change a little bit, you know, in order to continue to be faithful in what we're doing. And they've done that. And I think, you know, Dr. Erickson has led well, so well this year in particular, and made some really important changes.
Yeah, I think one of the great things I saw Dr. Erickson saying, it might have been in the other article, but he mentioned that, you know, being taught by Christians isn't the same thing as a Christian education. And I was like, man, that is so good.
Yeah,
that is so good. And they really want to give these kids a Christian education, you know, with a gospel fundamental,
absolutely,
you know, foundation for them to go out into the world, you know. And so that's really exciting. Really happy for the growth that Jacksonville College is seeing, and just really looks exciting for their future.
It is. It's a lot of great things happening there. They do have on they put an ad this time in the back, and so take a look at that. But they do have some openings. We were talking earlier, and I called it the Dean of Dining, but it's not necessarily the Dean of Dining. But I mean, we
I was getting my resume real quick.
I thought, man, I always wanted to be a college dean. I could be the Dean of Dining.
The director of dining. But yeah, they've got some opening positions.
Eric, we think you should call it the Dean of Dining.
I guess you'd be a change. You might get more, you know, people invited, so excited about
and
that.
And I am an expert on food. I think I got a master's. I might got a doctorate in food. So
I could believe make I do that. Too.
Eating and grilling, and, you know, sign me up, man. So, yeah, the director of dining, they have instructors, so I think some math, some science, and some business openings, and also admission and recruitment coordinator. And so, if you're looking for any of those things, know somebody that might fit one of those, give them a call. And so they're looking to hire some people as they continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And exciting time.
Yes.
Across the page there.
Okay. Yeah, Jordan too wants us to know that, wants us to remember that January would be a great time to give the BMA's Sunday school material a try. They have material for all ages. Have a good ad article in here about the benefits of the Baptist Expositor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it is, and it's great. You know, doctrine is going to be, you'll be able to trust it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff out there that has, you know, some bells and whistles and look fancy and all that stuff. When you start digging into it, well, there's not any meat, and sometimes it's some questionable stuff, but you know what you're going to get from here, what our seminary produces.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad teaches Sunday school at our church for the adult class, and I mean, he uses this resource. You know, every time the new one comes out, he's so excited to open that box up and get it.
So, it's like Christmas.
So if you haven't tried it out, give it a shot, because it's really great stuff.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So that brings us to our ministry spotlight article. And so I'm super excited about this, and I got a chance to sit down, you know, at my table and talk to you at your table, I think, across the state of Texas. So, but just tell us, you know, about kind of what's happening, you know, maybe just, you know, at First Avalon, kind of, you know, the history, the story a little bit, and we can just kind of hear what's going on and how you come there.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't even know where to start. I was so excited to get here and talk. I want to talk about everybody else, not me. My wife and I started going to church there in 2007. My daughter was born, and we knew we needed to get back in church. And I just had been running, you know, from God. And I knew I'd felt a calling on my life at a young age, probably around 15. I got saved when I was 14. But then started running away from Him. And, man, just got into some really negative things and bad stuff, and even thought, well, if I go to Bible college, you know, then I'll straighten out. Well, then I just fell in line with the same type of people that I was running around
They find you. I think it's like, yeah.
But after my daughter was born, you know, I remember holding her, you know, sitting there at the hospital right here in Waxahachie. She was born here in Waxahachie. And just looking down at her and, like, God affirming how much He loves me.
Yeah. Love
that. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I didn't even have a grasp of I still don't think I can fathom how much God loves us, but if it is anything like I love this little girl, man, what have I been doing? And so immediately, as soon as, I mean, we got home from the hospital, Christy and I talked, and I was like, we have to get into church. You know, I want her to be raised in church. And it wasn't, when she was able to go out, we visited several churches, and I grew up Catholic, was saved at a Pentecostal church, but had been going to a Baptist church, and then, you know, my wife was Methodist, and so we just had no idea what we were doing, and so we just started visiting churches, and, you know, she had a friend that her dad was the pastor at First Baptist Church of Avalon, and said, why don't we go and visit over there, a gentleman by the name of Cleve Clark, and so we went and visited, and as soon as we walked in, I mean, just felt the love immediately. Yeah. And I tell the story in the article, but I have to share it on here. Most everybody knows Frank Escamilla and his brother Jake. Well, Jake ran right up to Tinsley and took her out of the car seat, and, you know, we didn't even really know who he was. Yeah, and he's carrying her and holding her. Yeah. She was about 3 months old, and just started loving on her, and we just knew that was home. And
Jake's such a wonderful guy, big heart.
Oh, man, love him.
Local fire chief, and man, loved people, loved his church. And we lost him this year.
Yeah,
wonderful guy.
Yeah, that was tough. And but that type of love that was just poured out, and he did that forever. I could talk a whole hour about him, but we just felt like we were there. And Cleve, their youth pastor, had recently left, so he had said, when you're the youngest guy in the church, in a small church, they're like, hey.
Youth.
And so he asked me about it, and I initially told him no. Yeah. I was like, God's just now kind of getting me back on the right track, and I'm not in no position. He said, well, just do me a favor, because I really feel like He put it on my heart to talk to you, so pray about it. So I kind of lied to him right there in the church sanctuary. I was like, I'll pray about it. I had no intention of praying about it. But ultimately did, and then ultimately accepted the position. And that was in 2007, and so I was a youth pastor there for till 2015 or 16, I think. And then he ended up stepping down, and they asked me to interim while they did the a pastor search that I don't think really happened. I think they're still looking.
Jake was like, yeah, it's...
I'd actually asked. I was like, hey, how's the, you know, pastor search going? They're like, well, we just kind of hoping you'd take the job. And so after talking to my wife and stuff, you know, we agreed and that's what God was calling us for our next chapter. And initially was going really well, and then COVID happened.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, COVID. And
that marked, man, a lot of churches, man.
It hurt. And we went from, man, I bet we lost 40% of our congregation after COVID. And after, you know, even up till a couple of years ago, 20, 25 people on a Sunday morning, that was a really good, really good service, you know, turnout for us. Mm-hmm. And so there was some struggle there. There was a lot of time where I was just like, okay, God, you know, if there's somebody that can do it better, you know, bring them in, because I don't feel like I'm getting the job done. And, you know, he kind of convicted me of it and was like, hey, I put you there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we made a commitment, Christy, my wife, and myself, and you know, we just said, hey, if this is our calling, we're just going to be diligent, and we are going to, you know, show up and be prepared. And if there's only one person there, we're going to share the gospel. You know, we're going to preach Jesus, and we're going to worship. And, you know, he was just been faithful in that. I don't remember how long ago it was, maybe about a year ago. A friend of mine reached out, and this good friend of mine, his name is Ricky Whitney. We went to high school together. He really had a hard time growing up, and with some stuff he was struggling with from a really good family, but he was struggling with a lot of stuff. And, you know, he ended up getting saved. And I told Chris it was like a domino set this last year, because he was the first domino to kind of fall. God got a hold of his heart, and we baptized him. And, man, it was just like that little spark that needed in a dry field.
That's the power of this. I think, you know, we teach it all the time in the missions, you know, that, I mean, you know, the power of a changed life, you know, is something that God uses in ways, you know, that, you know, you can beat them over the head sometimes with everything you know about the Bible. But man, they see somebody's life transformed, you know, the real life miracle of salvation in somebody's life. And somebody that has a testimony, you know, that, like that, that, man, that's, you know, I love that description, that it was the domino that fell, because, man, he led to...
Yeah, it was
a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little tender that needed, and kind of like a cigarette butt that flies out in West Texas. I mean, the flame just took off, and you know, we baptized 26 people this year.
That's amazing.
I don't think since I've been there in 2007 we baptized 26 people. You know, so God's just really been moving, and we got to give Him all of the glory.
Absolutely.
And for what He's been doing in Ricky's life, because He just made Ricky hungry for His word. You know, and he's wanting to plug in and help out any way he can. And not just him, there's other people that have been there, you know, long before me, that are still faithful in serving that little church. And so I'm grateful for
their
faithfulness.
Well, I think that's a great testimony. I'm glad you mentioned that too, because I mean, there's people that have stayed and they stuck. And I mean, you know, when you go through difficult times, it's easy to go, maybe I should just jump. You know, I mean, as a young pastor going, man, maybe I could be, you know, instead of looking and going, maybe somebody else is supposed to be here, to go, maybe I should be somewhere else. like maybe, you know, I mean, you start thinking, oh man, well, you know, grass is greener and all that. But to be faithful, I think that is a powerful, what we see happening at Avalon, I think, is a powerful testimony to, you know, the willingness to persevere sometimes, you know, to push through, to go, you know what, God, you haven't called me anywhere else, that, you know, it's still here, and so I'm going to be faithful, and how God honors that in His time.
Absolutely.
You know, and then, you know, to see these things. But what I was really, what I loved was, you know, you finish it by saying, you know, it's not just about getting people safe, but we want, I mean, the job's not done yet, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and so I think, you know, for generations, I think what we've seen is we've never really rode the full wave of what God does in these salvation moments, because we've stopped at salvation, you know, and then you're like, oh, we're good. And so, but no, discipleship, you know,
so
to
important.
Teach, to obey, you know, to
so
carry
important.
Out the fullness of the Great Commission.
Absolutely.
Then you start seeing, you know.
Absolutely. You know, that's something that we really tried to drive home, the vision for our churches, that effective discipleship and what that looks like.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, building new disciples or creating new disciples, but also walking along and building them up and helping them in that walk, because so often, I can remember, you know, when I first got saved, you know, if it wasn't for people that came along beside me, you know, and showed me what to do, right. You know, kind of like Philip and the Ethiopian, right? You know, if there wasn't somebody like that in my life that you know, spent time and poured into me, you know, who knows where I would be. And so there's so many, so much of that, I think, gets lost in the church. And we just need to do a good job about building those disciples, because we're all mission mind. You know, we should be mission mindset. And, you know, the Great Commission, that's the whole purpose of making new disciples, to go out and continue to spread the word.
Absolutely.
And so... Yeah. I just think that's so important, because I don't want us to be a community of churchgoers.
Yeah,
you know, a club that comes to get together every Sunday, but we're not having an impact outside of those doors. And I want us to be able to reach more people for the sake of the gospel. Well, we need to build up more missionaries, more disciples to go out and do that and equip them. Because so many people think, oh, my job is, now that I got saved, is to go to church. I mean, yeah, I come to church. I am
great.
I believe 100% what the Apostle Paul said. I love the gathering of the saints. I love First Sunday. I love worshiping. But our job is all week long after we leave that building.
Amen.
And what goes on outside of the church walls.
Yeah.
I use the phrase all the time, you know, let's not just be church gathered, but let's be church scattered and go and, you know, make new disciples. Build those relationships. So building those relationships is so key.
Yeah.
You know, our God is a God of relationship.
Amen to that.
And that is the thing that grabbed me as a young man. You know, growing up in the Catholic Church, I told you I'd been confirmed in communion. But the thing that was lacking in that was relationship. And when I realized that it wasn't about me trying to reach God, but God trying to reach down to me and have a relationship with me. Well, guess what? When I build relationships with other people, that is an extension of the relationship that God wants to build with them.
Absolutely.
And so those are so key to effective discipleship, is having those relationships beyond, you know. And I'm not saying don't go knock on a door and tell somebody about Jesus, but, you know, I think effective discipleship takes place in that relationship and in that continual growing of each other. I mean, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
And I learned so much from my deacons and worship leaders. And, you know, Jake was, you know, one of our deacons, and, you know, he poured in so much to me. You know, I learned so much from him, you know, even as his pastor, you know, he poured into me. And
so
That I don't want that to get lost.
Yeah,
you know,
I love it. And man, you are pastoring at Avalon, but you're bivocational.
Yeah,
you're working.
I am bivocational,
a full time job.
Yes, sir.
Also, so man, the rhythm you're discussing of living out your faith throughout the week is something you're practicing right beside your people.
Yep. Trying to.
Yeah, better.
For sure. better practice what I preach.
Exactly right. Exactly. No, and I think that makes a difference. I mean, and you know, that's one of the things that we, you know, we try to talk with our missionaries. You know, when we train, is, you know, that you know, in those first few years, that, you know, we expect, you know, half of their time, whatever it is, to be spent with lost people, to not just, you know, office up and, you know, spend, you know, 80 hours a week prepping a sermon. But I mean, like, hey, you need to be with lost people.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is our goal. That's a great commission.
Be a friend of sinners.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think, you know, to what you're talking about, being bivocational and being able to walk with that. And, you know, it does, I think, give, you know, some legitimacy to what you're preaching. Like, hey, I'm doing it.
So. Yeah.
Share with us. I mean, I know it's tough. Yeah. It's a tension. But maybe positives and challenges you really face.
Bivocational.
As a bivocational.
Oh, man. I mean, the positives, you know, there's, it's really difficult to, you know, really pick out a bunch of positives other than what you're talking about right here, is you get to spend your time outside of the church building, right? And amongst people at work or people, you know, outside in the community, right? And so you have another mission field. So that's a huge positive.
Yeah.
That's a huge positive. Another, you know, huge positive is, you know, and I don't know if a lot of people talk about it, but just having you know, a way to provide for your family when maybe the church isn't doing so well, because I've gone through that now, and I've been very thankful that, you know, I had a job that could pay the bills, you know, but the flip side of that is, you know, it's very taxing, and there's been, there's been a lot of times of burnout, and, you know, I've had to, you know, really ask God to help me along, and I leaned on people like Frank and Brother Grady, you know, and asked them to lift me up in prayer because I was struggling, and they did, and their church came, you know, along and would support us, you know, however they could, and so I'm grateful for First Baptist of Blooming Grove. Got to give a shout out to those guys. Amen. Love them so much, you know, and it's, it's hard not just on me, but on my family as well, you know. I told, you know, somebody the other day, my daughter has had to share me her entire life with a bunch of kids because I was a youth pastor for so long, and then our youth pastor left about 3 years ago, and so I've been doing both the pastorate and the youth pastor, you know, and the youth for that. And so she's pretty much had to share her dad with, you know, 100 teenagers probably over the years, more. But God is also, I've seen God also working in their lives, and just coming along, and the grace that they've been able to pour out to me, but then also, you know, remind me that, hey, I'm still dad and I'm still husband. But they're seeing their growth to come along and partner with me in the ministry. That's amazing. And I'm telling you right now, one of my biggest fears right now is that girl leaving the college, because she has been a partner for me for the last 3 years. I mean, I can't even tell you everything that she does for the ministry. My wife too, you know, she's not ever going to sit in front of a camera, but she does everything else behind the scenes, you know. She's usually the one, like Elvis, setting up the mic and the camera and getting everything ready, you know, to broadcast our Sunday mornings, and and I am not an organized person, and so she's very organized, so you know, she kind of keeps me in that regard, and so seeing that as a positive, you know, seeing how God is working in their lives, and you know, their willingness to partner with me in the ministry has helped them grow in their relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely. Because it is a family affair.
I mean, absolutely.
You know, we serve so many pastors and missionaries, and understanding that, you know, God doesn't call just you to, you know, to the, to, I mean, they got to go where you go.
Right.
You know, I mean, and so your calling is their calling in so many ways.
Yeah, and
so
we didn't always, you know, I'll be honest, we didn't always do it effectively. You know, I did it poorly. And it caused some problems, you know, and it took another pastor calling me out on it. You know, what I thought was effective ministry was really just my pride getting in the way and and not taking care of my family. You know, and
worse
so
ministry.
That, so I'm not saying that, you know, I've always done it right, but
I think
that's the growth that's come out of that for both of us.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful testimony to, you know, to those watching that, you know, listening, that, you know, it does. I mean, we have to guard our families in ministry in particular, you know, that that we can, you know, be guilty so many times of sacrificing our family on the altar of ministry. And and that's something that we've, you know, the missions office have always tried to make sure that we've told our guys we won't do that, you know. And so, but we see so many times that we can, you know, be so good stewards over so many things and such terrible stewards over our family and our time, you know, with them. And but that's equally important, because you know, some of the greatest gifts you can give as a pastor to your congregation is the model of, you know, family, of, you know, what's valuable and what's important, and how to love them well.
Right.
So to be able to model that, I think, is good. And but you don't always get it right. And I think that's great also. I mean, that's a great testimony as well for people to see, hey, man, we're just normal human beings. Right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the, another positive thing that comes out of that is, in your, in those desperate moments of, you're just like, I don't have anything else to give, you feel God's presence so much more pulling you through there, and there's a there is a bond and a reliance that you learn to have on God in those moments. And I think you know, I couldn't have done this the past 17 years without Him. There's no way I couldn't have done life. And so I can't even think about going and doing life now at all in any capacity without God to carry me through there, because He's carried me through every difficult situation and season. And, you know, a lot of those did come down to the ministry, you know, and hard moments, and being tired and being overwhelmed and not having enough time or not having enough money, whatever the case may be. It was God that continually showed up and got us through there. And having that testimony for me is something that is invaluable.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a huge positive.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
It sure is. And the boldness that comes, the boldness that comes in knowing sometimes that you have to take a stand in a church, and that not being the sole source.
Yeah, absolutely. It does offer some freedom to preach the word, man, unapologetically.
Chris, you know, you both, I mean, you talked about seasons, you know, season in the life of the church. I have helped multiple churches to like graph their history. And they're never linear. Mm-mm. There's highs and there's lows. I mean, churches just walk through these cycles.
Sure.
And in their story, if they're long stories, are these moments of revival,
yeah.
you know, when really the gospel becomes center, Christ becomes king again.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and we're really all in around the cause together. And man, to get to live those moments because of the faithfulness of, you know, of carrying on. I always say revival is just, man, the next yes. It's just the next. Jesus Christ is Lord. His mission is ours. What's he calling us to do? Yes.
Yes.
You know,
we'll do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Say yes.
Yeah. You know, that's actually what I preached on this Sunday was,
right.
you know, Mary and Joseph just had to say yes,
exactly.
and it changed the world,
yeah.
you know. And so, and so the whole idea behind, you know, not giving up, wasn't an easy one.
No,
you know, there was a lot of days I didn't want to be there, but I'm so grateful because God is just so amazing, and He has shown up in so many times. I knew that if He's telling me to do this, He is going to show up, and we don't know what's around the corner. I fully anticipate continued, you know, good things, but I can't take any credit for it because God did everything.
Yeah.
If I did anything, it was just not quit, and if that's the standard, that's not a very good. God did everything.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know. So I have to give Him all the glory and just appreciation to, like I said, all the other faithful members that stay there.
Absolutely,
Robin, our worship leader, some of our deacons. You know, they stay there and just kept being faithful too. And so we are excited about everything.
You
kept
saying which is hard to do sometimes in those circumstances. You know, and. You know, because when we get to a certain point, and we've seen this so many times over the years, that a church gets, you know, down low enough and you know, the fear of, you know, let's just huddle, you know, let's just conserve resources,
absolutely.
You know, go into survival mode, and you stop saying yes.
Yes.
And so what a testament to, you know, the people, like you said, that stayed faithful, but to be able to say yes to what God is doing and to not stand in the way of revival that God is bringing.
You know, what's amazing to your point, I remember right around 2021 or so, we had 18 or 19 kids that were going to camp, and it's been, you know, something that I've never done. I've never made kids pay their own way to camp.
Yeah.
We've always found a way to fundraise and get it. Well, this time, I mean, the funds were really down. We're like, how are we going to do this? So the fundraisers weren't really working, but those few faithful members, they were getting on the phone, they were calling people, they were getting donations, they donated themselves. And even in the midst of that valley that maybe our church was in, you know, or the thin seasons, God showed up and every one of those kids got to camp. Paid for all the fuel for us to get them there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. And so it just, I've seen God show up time and time again in those moments, you
That's
know,
awesome.
And so I'm grateful. I'm just grateful for God and, you know, the people that He surrounded me with.
And it is.
Man, He's so awesome.
He is.
He's so awesome.
And it's fun. You know, I mean, like I say, you go through those dry times, but then, you know, God fills the cup back up and it's just, so don't miss the joy.
Yeah.
Of this moment, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes we get caught in, you know, okay, what's next? You know, next, but, you know, make sure you pause and enjoy, you know, in what God is doing.
Absolutely.
And just to really celebrate that and just take the joy in that.
And I love the spot you're in where you're not taking an ounce of credit for it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hadn't got a thing figured out.
Yeah.
That's where we want to be.
Yeah,
empty of us, full of Him.
Absolutely.
You said a while ago, man, if that's the standard, man, that's the standard, isn't it? We get out of God's way and just keep letting God be God.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I told Chris, I was like, I can't, and I've said this from the pulpit before. When I went off to Hardin Simmons and I was a ministry major, I started running away again and my grades went down and they took my scholarship away, and so I couldn't go back. And so I joke often
and say, yeah, I'm just a dummy. They kicked me out of Bible college. I don't know how I'm in this position, so I can't take any credit for what's happening right now.
I love that.
I love it. I love it. So, well, man, we'll appreciate you telling that story, man. And I think your story matters. I think what God is doing at Avalon matters. I mean, we have so many of our churches that, you know, have been in those low points and maybe are right now, and to be able to hear, you know, that just stay faithful, to continue on, be faithful. Like I say, just say yes and see what God
does. And I would like to encourage anybody, you know, because I know those times are tough. They're tough, and the devil will try to play tricks with your mind and, you know, do everything, tell you you're not good enough or you're not doing the right thing or you made the wrong decision. And I just want to encourage everybody, you know, God is faithful, and he called you there, and he put you there for a reason. You know, so often we think a calling is that he's getting us to go somewhere. No, he called you right where you're at. And so you're there for a purpose.
Yeah, that's good.
Continue to stay faithful. God is always faithful. He's going to show up. And even if it's one person, it's worth it. I read a story about the door greeter at the church where Billy Graham got saved. I don't know, I'm sure y'all heard that story. Nobody knows who that guy is, but the world was changed because that guy went and grabbed a teenager and said, hey, I'll find you a seat. You know what I mean? So just stay faithful. That guy probably has more crowns more jewels in his crown in heaven than maybe even Billy Graham does. You know what I mean? Because nobody knew him on earth.
Absolutely.
So just stay faithful. God is, and he has you there for a purpose. And lean on others. You know, lean on other people. Lean on pastors and friends. And call me. I'd love to, you know, pray with you or help out any way I can. So just because I lean on guys like Frank and Grady and, you know, other stuff in those moments. So we're not in this alone. That's the beauty of the church.
Amen. We're isolated.
That's the beauty of the church.
Yeah, we're isolated. We're in trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Man, that's awesome, man. We're praising God for what God's doing there.
Can't wait
to hear more stories, man. So can't wait, man. So, well, all right. Well, let's finish this thing up, man. So we're a little talk about, you know, the auxiliaries, our WMA, our GMAs. And so they, here in this issue, they shared, you know, kind of their experiences during the state meeting. But then also, you know, Miss Johnny Ross, she wrote a great article, really just challenging Christian women, you know, to participate, to gather together, to, you know, chase God together. So great article, talking really centered around the idea of being a soldier for Christ and what that means. And so, just a great read there. I encourage you to do that. And one of the things that stood out is just being a good steward of your time. Yeah. You know, that, you know, we always talk about, and I think this is not just ladies, but sometimes we don't go and participate in things because we're so busy. You know, but, you know, she really challenges that with, you know, I mean, maybe we could be a better steward, you know, and what if we stewarded our time a little bit better? Maybe we could have time.
I tell you what, you look at your phone, you'll figure out how much time you really have. Yeah, it tells you how much time you spend on that phone.
Yeah, I mean,
I've done it myself after complaining about not having any time.
Absolutely.
She's the new president.
She is the new president.
Excited about and. Man, her and brother Leon had a fish fry here at the mission office for all of our staff trustees and all the staff over at TBHC last week. Yeah. So
I missed that.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Miss Cindy Allen has been the president for the last couple of years and did such a wonderful job there.
And I love what they're. I mean, they've done so much and they do so much every year. And there are projects. I think this year was. The Baptist home, you know,
Baptist home. I think $29,000 raised
Baptist
for
hope.
That. Hope, correct me. Correct me.
Sorry, Jason. Sorry.
And then next year, they voted to buy land in Mexico to help Brother Tommy Rose, missionary there, with their church planting effort. So that's going to be great.
That's awesome. My oldest son and I, back when he was 15, we took him on a VSM trip down to be with Tommy and Sarah, and got to spend some great quality dude time with my
They're
boy.
They're wonderful
so,
people.
And we did, man. So we got to see them. You know, they were actually sharing space at the time. I don't know if they still do or not, but with karate MMA studio. So, man, it was, yeah, we built some stuff in there. But, and my son still loves it. I got pictures of him getting to go into one of the classes while we were there. You know,
cool.
But yeah, so I'm excited for them. I assume this is for them.
I don't know. I assume too.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that'll be something, next step for them. That's awesome.
The WMA, just an amazing group of women and everything that they do, you know, just such big hearts, you know. I was really excited when I saw that, you know, that they nominated to do the fundraising for Mexico for Tommy and Sarah. That's going to be so good. Yep. Really excited for them. Yep. You know, one thing I did highlight in here is I love their theme for next year. Each one, reach one.
Each one, reach one.
And I think you and I had that conversation, you know, if you challenge each person knows at least one person.
Just get one person.
I mean, you double the amount of people that
that's right.
If you invite one person to church, you know, maybe you don't know what to say. Just invite them to church.
Absolutely.
You that's know, good. Each one reach one. You can reach them by giving them food. That reaches absolutely. Me a lot of times.
Oh, sure does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I can be the dean of dining. So. Yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, on that same page, though, I mean, not WMA related, but there is a women's conference. And so the ladies that are watching, the ladies that are looking for something down there at Round Prairie in Fairfield, they're having a women's conference. They've got a QR code there as well, Awaken Women's Conference. And so be a great time to go. And they're always great hosts. They host our men's preaching. Or just our pastors are preaching conference every year around Prairie does, and and so always great hosts. So I know they'll do a great job there. But again, just you know, the idea there that Ms. Johnny was talking about of being good stewards over your time, making time for things like that, to be fed, to be filled up, to engage, not just, you know, at the church, but finding ways to get other women. That'd be a great opportunity for some of your lost friends that don't have anybody for the ladies. Grab somebody and, you know, go to a women's conference and just spend some time, you know, quality time with other ladies. I think it's important. And WMA are so faithful to do that. And I love the connection and the heart they have for one another.
Absolutely.
They love each other. And and so continue to do great works. But there's that event that somebody might get excited about. And so coming to the end here, so we have a couple things there. We have new opportunities at the BMA Seminary. And so we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You know, us country guys, man, don't have, you know, a ton of education. You got some new opportunities, you know, especially for guys like me out in the middle of nowhere, you know, not near anything. But they've got somewhat they're calling mini courses coming up, you know. They're 1 credit hour courses, but they only last for about 4 to 5 weeks. And so they got a great list of options here, you know, from introduction to missions, cross-cultural church planning, Paul's major letters, talking about general epistles, poetic books of the Old Testament, inductive Bible study, biblical understanding of prayer, biblical understanding of worship, and then the crisis and counseling intervention and how that works out in the Bible. So, man, some great opportunities.
It's awesome. And even if you're not trying to get a degree,
you don't have to.
And you're wanting to brush up on one of these topics, I mean, that is absolutely wonderful to be able to do. I mean, that's amazing. And then the thing that they offer, you know, it says a free class every spring and fall semester.
Free class.
That's a huge resource. What an amazing blessing.
Their spring free class is on evangelism.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Says they're an understanding of the gospel and learning how to share it.
Amen.
That'd be good.
There you go.
Man, don't we all need that?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Do it more. Yeah.
I want to welcome Brother Richard Coons to Hubbard Chapel Baptist Church in Quitman. He's their new pastor.
Amen.
Wonderful
Amen.
Church. And and so, man, we welcome him, and just want to remind you that there are multiple churches that are looking for staff.
Yeah.
Looking for pastors, looking for staff. And so, man, pray for them and encourage others towards.
Yeah, and on our website as well, on the Baptist Progress website, there are opportunities, men that are available for a pulpit, you know, there are resources there as well for those that want to go check that out on the website. And so take advantage of that. You need somebody filling in, we have some guys out there that can do that. And so
we have the intentional interim program.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to help if we can.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. I didn't even know that. So I'm learning something here too.
All right. And so that kind of brings us to the very last page, our ads page. And we want to kind of give some shout outs to some things that are happening, some upcoming events. There is a men's retreat happening at Daniel Springs Camp in January, the 16th and 17th. And got a special PJ Nolan as the speaker. But there is a chance to get signed up for that. It's always a great time. I think last year's was a phenomenal event. I know some of the several guys that went to that and just really encourage and challenge his men, do some men things, you know, out there at the camp. And so it looks like it's about $50 a piece. And so if you're interested in that, it's hosted by Daniel Springs, but also Healthy Church Solutions, Larry Barker, and what they got going on over there. And
so PJ's a good speaker. You'll be blessed.
He really is. He's over there in Arkansas, and so known PJ for a lot of years, and so you'll be blessed for sure. Be challenged. And then also the Progress is putting on in February 28th, there again at Jacksonville College, a special, it's called The Table. It's a ministry leadership gathering. We're going to have some different breakouts around you know, different ministries within the church. And so just coming led by, you know, people in those specific areas that we're just going to be able to just talk and share resources and ideas and just be encouraged in those areas. And so looking forward to that. And so that, again, is at it's sponsored by Baptist Progress, but it's at Jacksonville College. And so all the information is there. If you need more, call up here and let us know. We can let you know more about that.
And that's really exciting.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And we just think, that's a help to a lot of churches because you can bring multiple people around multiple ministries of your church. They're going to get general and basic leadership equipping, and then they're going to break and get specific equipping around their areas of ministry on that day. And man, there's so many churches that can't do staff, you know, staff retreats or equipping at home like this. So an opportunity to bring all your teams together, come to Jacksonville College. Yeah. So if you just want to come and strengthen in a specific ministry, great.
Yeah.
If you want to gather up and bring multiple teams, then do that.
But let's do that. Let's fill that place up and get what we need, make our churches stronger. And one that's not on here is our fifth annual preaching conference that'll be also in Fairfield this coming year. And February 23rd and 24th, it's free. We've got a great lineup, and we'll see more about that next month. But just want to kind of get everybody to challenge you to kind of put that on your calendar. It's just a preaching conference, so anybody's welcome. We call it sometimes our pastor's conference, but you know, we've had pastors or wives come, and it's 2 days. You know, usually we'll start, I think this year, maybe at noon and go through a full day on the first day, and then try to finish by dinner on the second day so everybody can make their way home. But it's a great time, always challenging.
It is.
Great speakers. We got a bunch of great teachers. And
what would you guys say to in the BMA? You know, there's so many pastors like myself, you know, who are bivocational, you know, they work full time, right? And you have these amazing opportunities, you know, to go and just have these workshops and fellowship with others. But they're really struggling to balance that, you know, work life, you know, and their time off maybe because they have, you know, they have family vacations or whatever the case may be. You know, what would you guys recommend for, you know, other pastors like that that would love to go to an event like this, but, you know, are really trying to balance that work, you know, schedule and stuff like that?
It is a tough challenge. There is no doubt. I will say, because of the balance that you're discussing, when we've tried to do things on Saturday, taking Saturday away from a bivocational pastor is also winds up being even more even more challenging.
Sure.
And just like so I'll say like the preaching conference, you'll be blessed if you could just come to the evening session. Come have dinner with us and catch that night of worship and that night of preaching. I think that would be a good opportunity.
Because what we've discovered in these, you know, I mean, hopefully this will be enough. And even take the state meeting even, you know, and having those times of just connection with other BMA pastors and fellowship in there, whatever you can to get there. I think it's valuable. I really
sure.
do. Because again, for, you know, even if it's not the content necessarily, which is always great, The connection with other guys, and you said it earlier that we're not alone in this. The beauty of the church and the body is that we're not alone in this. The beauty of associational work is we're not alone in this. Beauty of what we do and what I love about the BMA is that there's so many guys that are just like you and I,
right.
Bivocational, working, driving, doing all kinds of stuff and trying to work, all these schedules out. But we need one another. Catch what you can.
I would say, don't
feel guilty about not. I mean, and this one's completely free. It don't cost you anything.
At the state meeting, we always do a highlighted special evening service in the same way. Maybe getting to come to that. And I just say, man, looking at your schedule and thinking, this year, what could I build in? Where could I connect? And we do try to do some things that we try to do, like the workshop coming up is on Saturday, and it works. We hope it works for that. The truth is, we tend to have the worst attendance on weekend things that we often try. And so
I could see that. Yeah. I mean, as a bivocational pastor, I spend a lot of time Saturday.
Yeah.
Working on my message for Sunday. And then, that's
or
really
mowing the lawn
or trying to get it done before you go to your office and start working.
Catch up on all that home stuff.
Yeah.
I get it, man, for sure.
But no, it's a great question, and it's a real tension faced by so many people. And in the BMA, it really is. And so, I understand it. I really do.
Absolutely.
And I will just challenge, like Chris said, there's value in connecting as you can. And so to see something that might be close enough to you that you can connect to.
And hopefully, part of what I'm doing is pastor connections now. And so we want to do some more regional things, for guys, that maybe, because Fairfield seems pretty central for most people. It's not for me.
Right.
It's not, but I'll make it. But I mean, so not everybody can make the, even 3-4 hours, depending on where you're at. So, but to be able to really find some more regional opportunities to engage, guys like you that, really make a specific effort to find targeted times and places where we can connect.
Absolutely. And I think I agree with you. I think it's invaluable.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it can feel like you're on an island when you're like that. And so being just this conversation that we've had over this article has been such an encouragement to me. Right.
Absolutely.
And so we didn't get to get together and have dinner last night, but
left me alone.
I'm sorry. But maybe we can grab lunch after this. But it's been amazing just to sit here and talk with you guys and have this connection. So I can see the value.
Absolutely.
In it, so I would encourage anybody, if you can move something around, if you can beg your boss for an afternoon off, I think it would be worth it.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying something that I haven't been good at doing myself, because there's a lot of things I've not been able to get to. So.
Well, and it's a lot. When you put together BMF America and BMF Texas and all the offerings throughout the year, it's a lot. And so, in 2026, to look at that and think, what could I connect to?
Yeah.
And, the preaching conference is 2 days. If you could even make 1 day.
Yeah.
I will just say that thing has been, that conference has been such a blessing to pastors. We hear preaching. It is. There's really good encouragement and feeding for those who tend to be the ones doing the encouraging and the feeding. But also just the prayer and the testimony time, and it encourages pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, and yet more pastors than get there to be encouraged. Something comes up in their schedule, something, and they don't get to come. And so, find something that you can prioritize. I think that would be. And, try to block that, I think, is really beneficial to connect with others and to be encouraged.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah, because we're not supposed to do this alone. And I think that is, as a Christian, as churches, I think, that this association of work is right, man. It's good. To be connected to one another.
We're better together.
Amen. That's a good word. So, any final words for us?
I just want to encourage everybody. I appreciate those words because, that's what the men, like us that are bivocational and really struggling to maybe connect all the time and think sometimes, man, I'd really like to go to that, but that's one more thing that I'm going to have to fit into my schedule. Just remembering how how worth it is. Yeah. It is because God does amazing things through, you know, just meetings like this. And so being able to connect with like-minded individuals that, that have the same Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them, that are called to the same purpose, it does my heart so good. Like right now, I said I was excited when I got here. I'm even more excited now. Yeah. I'm ready to go out and hit the streets and start telling people about Jesus. So I love getting with you guys, and so I appreciate it. And, and I just want to continue to encourage all the pastors out there. You know, just stay faithful. You know, God's going to get you through it. I promise. He's so much bigger than we can even imagine. He's got me out of so many things.
But sometimes we got to be reminded of that. You know, we preach it all the time, but sometimes we don't preach it to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, man, he's there for your people, but he's also there for you.
Yeah. So, and then usually that's when my wife comes along and said, "You remember what everybody told you at church, or what you told everybody at church Sunday?" And I'm like, "You're right."
Thank you for that.
So, it's been a joy.
Yeah.
Amen. I've loved it.
Do what?
Any final words?
Say to each of you, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Look forward to seeing you again next year.
Absolutely. It's been a great year this year. So it's going to be looking forward to another good year. And God is so good. And so we just want to challenge you to keep making progress.
Amen.
God bless you.